Okay, so we are learning now Chaf Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. We are in the middle of a discussion for Rabbi Yehuda. Does Rabbi Yehuda consider to be an Ohel She'eino Aser Midah Adam, meaning an Ohel, a shelter, which is not made for the purpose of shelter, which is made, which either happens on its own or it was made by people, but for some other reason, is that considered to be shelter, right? And the last thing that we said was that the Tinaik, right? The reason why Rabbi Yehuda, even though he holds that an ohel which is made for that purpose will in fact be a good shelter, and therefore the doors which are supplied for that purpose underneath the shvarim, underneath the oxen, should in fact be a good shelter. The reason why he doesn't do it is for a completely separate reason. It's because children will want to see what's underneath the doors. They will poke their heads out, and by doing so, they could very well become tummy. And for that reason, right? For that reason, and that reason only, they did not put doors underneath the oxen. And it should now is a good time to mention that Racheli is joining us for this particular shiur. So, she will, I'm sure, correct me whenever it is that I make a mistake. Okay. Fine. What were we up to? Okay. So it says, so the Gemara says, Ella, mevin shvarim amitzrim, rather. Right, sorry. Tanya Kavasi the Rava, there's a Raisa that supports this statement of Rava, right? That Rabbi Yehuda says, Leia Yumavian, the last is Kulikar, they wouldn't bring doors. Why? If Nisha Daita Shazina Gas, Allah Shema Yoitzi Rosho Echad Mevarav, Vegitama Bekever at home. Because maybe the reason why I didn't do it is because maybe the child will stick out his head, and in doing so, he will be outside of the shelter which is offered by the, the doors, and he will order shvarim, the oxen, and all the various things that are being provided to make sure he doesn't become tamei. He will be outside that shelter, and he will, and by doing so, he will become tamei betero, tamei because of a bright grave that we didn't know was there, right? That'll make him tamei. That chashash, that worry exists, and therefore we do not bring doors because it is better that we not be overly machmir, and by being so machmir, we actually cause the child to stick out his head. Okay. And so it's Ella, rather, mevin shvarim amitzrim, we bring these Egyptian oxen. Right, why Egyptian oxen? Presumably Egyptian oxen were very big or something. Sorry, I lost my place. Where were we? Okay, so rather they would bring these Egyptian oxen, and which were presumably very large oxen, and then they would the children would sit on those oxen, right? Why? Shekresosin rechavos, because they're wide, right? V'atinokas yoshin al gabeihen, and the children would sit on their backs. V'koso shel evan b'dayen, and they would hold these stone cups. Why stone? Remember we discussed stone kalim that are made from stone are under, even though they are kalim, the chaldav ravinyan, they are not mekabel tumma, right? The only things that are mekabel tumma are clay, wood, metal, or glass midarabanan, right? Therefore, the reason why glass is mekabel tumma midarabanan, because it can be melted down and reformed just like metal can. And so the Gemara says we treat glass as though it was metal for those purposes. Right, but it's midarabanan. So for that reason, right, stone is not mekabel tumma, and therefore, right, they would bring these stone cups so that they could, carry the water in something that was not mekabel tumma. Higiu l'shiloach, they would arrive at the shiloach at the stream. Yardu melaum, and they would get off the oxen's backs, and they would fill up the water, ve'alu, and they would climb back onto the back. So Yashla and Agaben, they would sit on the backs of these oxen. It says, ve'harei mita, and a bed. The yesh bar kama groifin has several fists underneath it, right? It has several fists underneath it. Vesnan, and we have a mission. It says Rabbi Yehuda Omer, right? Rabbi Yehuda would say, no agina yinu shahayinu yishenim tachzamit bifnei azakenim, right? And Rabbi Yehuda says that we had the minhag, we had the practice of sleeping underneath a bed in front of the zakein, in front of our teachers, and they never said to us anything. I don't understand, says the Gemara. Why, how can this be possible? We said that although Rabbi Yehuda does have a shita, an ohel she'ena asuya l'shema, or an ohel which isn't made for the purposes of being an ohel, right, of being a shelter, is in fact not a shelter. That only applies if it's the minimal possible shelter, if it's a tefach by a tefach on the tefach. Right, if it's a tefach cubed, if it's any bigger than that, then even a shelter which is not made for the purpose of being a shelter is going to be a valid shelter. And there's for sure, there are many fists, right? There are many tefachim underneath a bed. So there's no shiny meat to hold the lagaba, so yeah. It says, wait, no. A bed is different. Why is a bed different? Because the point of a bed is not really to put things underneath it, it's to put things on top of it. It's for people to sleep on top of it. Therefore, it's not just that it's a shelter which is not made for the purpose of being a shelter. It's that it is made for the anti-purpose of being a shelter. It is absolutely not meant to shelter anything, it's meant to have things on top of it. And the Gemara asks the obvious question, Shraim Nami Lagaban Asuin? Oxen are also made to place things on top and not underneath. So in that case, how are they distinct from a bed? And didn't we teach, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that these Egyptian oxen are a valid way of preventing the tumah from hitting these children who are holding these stone cups, etc., in their hands, right? Because of the kashash, that the person who's carrying the paradumah water will in fact become tamei. It says, Ki asa ravin amar Rabbi Elazar. So Ravin came and said, name Rabbi Elazar, Shaini shvarin ho'il u'meginim al haroim. Okay, so, right, why is it, an oxen is different because when it rains, then their herders will sit underneath the oxen, that way they don't get wet. And so in that sense, an oxen is actually used for shelter underneath as well, occasionally, not, you know, very often, but it is, right? A bed is not, Rashi points out, right, that there is a Gemara in Baal Basra that says that the way Talmidei Chachamim use their beds is that they'll only sleep on top of their beds, right, and the only things they'll put underneath their beds are their shoes, and the reason why is because they don't want people to be climbing underneath their beds and spending time there. That's not so tsanua, it's not so modest, and therefore you never know somebody might be there when certain things are happening, and so therefore that reason, Talmidei Chachamim will only put their shoes underneath their beds and nothing else. Therefore, the bed is really not used for shelter at all. Even though it's technically valid for that purpose, it is not used for that purpose. Oxen, on the other hand, are actually sometimes used for genuine shelter because the shepherds do hide from the rain underneath them. Says the Ihachi, if that's true, Mita Nami Ho'ilva Megina Al Minalayim Vesandalin Shataseya. And then the Gemara says, but if that's the case, then a bed also does actually, I mean, it's true that you don't put much underneath the bed, but you do put your shoes underneath the bed, as we just discussed. Those shoes are receiving some protection from the bed. So you've just said that you don't need something that's really used very much as a shelter. It only needs to be used a little bit as a shelter, right? So on the one hand, it's not used for a shelter for many things, but it is being used as a shelter for shoes. So the Gemara rejected that. Elam, Rava says something different. Shiny shorim, oxen are different. Ho il v'asuin lagin al bnei me'ayim shalem shener mar or u'basar tal b'sheni u'va'atzamois v'gidim tesachicheni. So Rava says no. See, oxen are different because their skin and their skeletal system is designed to protect their internal organs. Right, so it forms a tent over their internal organs. That's a tent. It's the upper skin, not the lower skin of, not the skin on the stomach, the skin on the back of the oxen, which is providing the shelter in this particular case, and that is designed to shelter. It's designed to shelter the internal organs. V'beitim, well, you might say something different. Rabbi Yehuda l'taimi da'amar suka diras keva ba'inam v'avile mita diras arai. V'suka ohel keva v'lo asi ohel arai u'mevatel ohel keva. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda is paskening by a different sheet of his, right? Rabbi Yehuda is paskening that a suka is meant to be a permanent dwelling. Right? So the I mentioned before, the Gemara in Yuma actually discusses this, and it says that Rabbi Yehuda, for example, thought that a sukkah required a mezuzah. Why? Because for those 7 days, a sukkah is your permanent house. And if it is your permanent house, then it requires a mezuzah. If a sukkah is a permanent house, says Rabbi Yehuda, the very, very temporary nature of the shelter provided by a bed, right, it's not in the standard fashion used as a shelter, and therefore, even if you happen to sleep underneath it, it will not be able to cancel the permanent shelter provided by a sukkah. That is, as opposed to, right, the opinion of Chachamim, who say that no. Right? So who said that a sukkah should not be a permanent dwelling, it's actually a temporary dwelling, definitionally. V'har, that's what the Quran says. V'har, Rabbi Shimon, Amar, Nami, Sukkah's diras keva, but in Rabbi Shimon comes along and says a sukkah. Rabbi Shimon also said that a sukkah should be a permanent dwelling. Ve'ati ol arayim vatal ohel keva, and he thinks that a temporary dwelling can cancel out the permanent dwelling. Meaning, if you're underneath the temporary dwelling, which is formed the temporary shelter formed by the bed, then that does actually cancel the effect of the permanent shelter provided by a sukkah. Behapidi, they're disagreeing with this. Mar savar asi ol arai, or vatel ol keva, or mar savar lo asi ol arai, or vatel ohel keva. One of them thinks that ohel arai, right, that temporary dwelling, it cancels out the effect of the permanent dwelling of the sukkah. That's what Rabbi Shimon thinks, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, a temporary dwelling is not capable of cancelling out the effect of the permanent dwelling, which is the sukkah. Note, right, this leads to a machlokes shonim, the Rash, right, Rabbi Shimon Mishans, one of the most important Bali Tosafos, thinks that this is the reason why the Tanakhama and the Mishnah disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. He thinks the Tanakhama is Rabbi Shimon, right, and he thinks that the sukkah is an ohel keva, right, but an ohel keva can't, that an ohel arai, right, the temporary shelter provided by a bed can cancel out the effect of the permanent shelter provided by the sukkah, and therefore you sleep under a bed in a sukkah, it's as though you're not sleeping in a sukkah at all. Right? And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that and thinks that the temporary shelter of the bed cannot cancel out the permanent shelter of the sukkah. And Rashi on the Mishnah thinks that no, Tanakhama is not the same as Rabbi Shimon. Right? Rabbi Shimon is a third opinion. Tanakhama thinks that a sukkah is a diras arai, is a temporary dwelling. And if it's a temporary dwelling, then a temporary shelter provided by the bed can cancel out the temporary dwelling provided by the sukkah. Okay. Let's continue. Amar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, and this is obviously Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, not Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, right? Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, Maise b'Tevi Avdi. There was a story about Tevi, my slave. And then we discuss this. Tevi was the Eved Kanani of Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, and he was also a big tzaddik. He's mentioned in the Gemara, in Brachos, as being a big tzaddik, right? There are things he knew lots of halachis. So Tanya, right, says, I'm a Rabban Shimon. Ari Shimon, Mishichasish Rabban Shimon, Rabban Gamliel. Lamanush made Varim, Lamanush Avarim to Rimina Sukkah, Lamanush Ayashi Tachas Sukkah, Le Yatsa Yidei Kevase. From this story, this like conversation that Rabban Gamliel had with somebody, we learn two things. Firstly, Avodim, right, are Potter from the Sukkah, and Eved Kanani is Potter from the Sukkah, and the reason why is because there's a mitzvah asa shasman grama, and just like a woman is part from mitzvah asa shasman grama, an Eved Kanani is part from mitzvah asa shasman grama, because we learn the chi of mitzvahs, the obligations of mitzvahs of an Eved Kanani from the obligations of mitzvahs that a woman has, right? And also, we learn that if you sleep under a bed in the sukkah, you have not fulfilled your obligation, which is the way we paskin. V'leima midvarav shel Rabban Shimon, v'shel Rabban Gamliel, and why, he says, why, the Gemara says, why don't we just say from his words? Why from his, you know, casual conversation? Why just say from what Rabban Gamliel said? Why do we have to say from his conversation? Milsag of Urcha Kamashalan. He wants to teach us something else. A third thing he wanted to teach us. Ki hada amarav achar bar'ada ve'amri la amarav achar bar'ada amarav amnuna amarav. right? Something which Rav Acha bar Ada said, or maybe it was Rav Acha bar Ada who said in the name of Rav Avunah, who said in the name of Rav. Minayin sha'afiu sichas kol midei chamim tzricha limud she'nemar ve'aleihu leibol. Right? How do you know that you should pay very close attention, that you should learn even the casual conversations, even from the most casual conversations of Talmidei Chachamim, because the pasuk says about Tzadikim, about Talmidei Chachamim, the whole pasuk in Tehillim is Vayetz Perek Aleph pasuk Gimel Vayakis Sheit Shatul Asol Pali Mind. So like Talmidei Chachamim will be like a tree which is planted on top of running water, right? Asher per yoi ten bito, that will give fruit at the right time, because it will grow very strongly. Valeuli bol, right? And its leaves won't wear out, its leaves won't fall off. Vechol asher yasei asleich, and anything which happens with that tree will be successful. So too, a Talmid Chacham, anything he does will be successful. And aleuli bol, even the smallest, lightest thing, the leaves, right? The leaves are the smallest, lightest thing in a tree. So even the smallest, lightest thing that Talmid Chacham says, even his most casual conversation, is not for nothing. It's not going to just fall off. And you should pay attention to it. You should learn from it, right? So that's what we learn from the statement of Rabbi Shimon, not just these halachis. A, that an avod is potter from sukkah. B, that if you sleep at the bed in the sukkah, you do not feel irrigation. We also learn a further halacha, that you should pay very close attention to the casual conversations of Talmidei Chachamim. Okay, let's do the next Mishnah. Asoimech sukosoi bichera'e hamita kesheira. So somebody who leans his sukkah on the legs of the bed. Meaning, what happened? What did he do? Pachori yoter, right? He used the bed frame and stuck sach on it, right? Kesheira, it is kosher. Rabbi Yehuda Meir, Rabbi Yehuda said, Aim ein yechol lamei b'fnei atzma p'tula. So if you lean your sukkah, somebody who leans his sukkah on the against a bed, right? It'll be against the legs of a bed. It's kosher. That's a perfectly kosher sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda said, if it's able to stand on its own, then it is kosher, and if it's not able to stand on its own, then that actually constitutes a psul. We'll discuss why. Right, the Gemara asks, "My time at Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason for this halacha of Rabbi Yehuda? Pliki bar Rabbi Zeira ve Rabbi Abba bar Mama. Chana Rabbi Neisha ein la keva. Rabbi Neisha ma mida bedavar hamekabel tuma." No, it's right. That's what it's right. You put your schach over a bed frame, right? If you put your schach over a bed frame, it is kosher. The Gemara said, and Rabbi Yehuda said, that's only true if the schach has some way of standing on its own, right? If there's something else supporting the schach, but if it's just the bed frame supporting the schach, then it is in fact possible, right? So why? What's the main reason for Rabbi Yehuda's halacha? Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Abba bar Baral disagree about this. One of them says because ein la keva, because it's an inherently it's an inherently temporary thing, right? Inherently, a bed is temporary. It's going to move around. It's going to be taken somewhere, right? So that's not considered a permanent shelter. And remember, Rabbi Yehuda says that you need a permanent shelter for a sukkah. In which case, Tanakhama says, no, you don't need permanent shelter for a sukkah, right? And therefore, it's not a problem to put schach over the top of the bed frame. It's not going to pass the sukkah. And then the other person said, their other opinion, it was either Rabbi Zeira or Rabbi Abba Amal, suggested that no, the reason why is because you're putting underneath the schach something which is mekabel tumah. There is a rule that you cannot use as a direct support for the schach something which is mekabel tumah. Right? So since now you are supporting the schach with something which is mekabel tumah, right, you cannot. That is a pasul sukkah. My benayu, what's a good nafkamina between them? Kigoin, in such a case as you shenat shepudin shel barzel v'sikech lehen. So if you were to put, basically, if you were to really shove metal rods in the ground, if you really shove metal rods into the ground, and that was your bed, and then you put schach over that, would that be, would that work? Well, if it was because it's something which is inherently temporary, which moves around, then already this is not so temporary, does not move around, and therefore the sukkah will be kosher. Of course, it has to be taller than 10 tefachim. That's the obvious unstated assumption here, right? If, on the other hand, we are talking about a case that, if we're talking about that, if we assume that the issue is that it's a, that you use something which is makabel tuma to support the schach, then the answer is no, right? Something which is makabel tuma is in fact possible to use for schach, and therefore this will not be a kosher sukkah. Right, and therefore this will not be kosher sukkah because this bed is still mechabel tumah, nitzad being amita, and it's also become mechabel tumah, but it's made from metal, right? There's metal pshutikim uklim mateches, right? Even the those things which are made from metal, which cannot receive something into them, which do not hold any liquid, they also are mechabel tumah. And that's what the Gemara explains. Lemanda Amar, the fisher in the keva, areish the keva. For somebody who says that a bed is inherently temporary, this is not temporary. But if it's your talk, if the problem is that the thing that's supporting schach is mekabel tuma, then this is mekabel tuma. Amar Abaye suggested, right? Loi shonu ela samach al sikach al gav amita ksheira. Oh. Wait. Okay. So Rashi says that this is only this. All of this is only true if you really put the schach on top of the bedposts, right? If you had a bed frame and then you literally just put the schach on top of the bed frame, in such a case, it is in fact possible for whatever reason, right? Either because it is inherently, it's moving around, right? Or because it's mekabel tuma, right? But if we're talking, if the Rashi says, if you put the schach on top of the bed, what does that mean? It means that you really support it with something else, on top of pegs of some sort. Right? Basically what you did, Rashi suggests, is maybe what you did was you created pillars and you made a frame to support the schach. And you just used three beds around the sukkah as the walls of the sukkah. But they're not actually supporting the schach. In such a case, it is in fact kosher, right? If we're talking about Laman Damar Damar Lefisha Ein Lakeva, Hare Yesh Lakeva. If you're saying that the schach is inherently impermanent, well, this schach is permanent, right? It's been placed on a at least semi-permanent frame, right? It's not going to move around with the bed. In Achanam, if you move the beds which form the walls of the sukkah, then the sukkah will become possible, but the sukkah itself doesn't move with the beds, right? And for somebody who says that you're supporting the schach with something which is kabel tumah, here, what's supporting the schach is, in fact, not the kabel tumah, right? Here, what is supporting the schach is the frame that you built for it, and the beds are just around to form walls. Now note, right, and this is part of a general rule, that the walls of the sukkah don't actually have to have any particular relationship to the schach. Right? They just have to be in the same locale. They don't have to be connected to the schach in any way. Now note, the Chazon Ish has a diuk which is very, very famous. He points out that if this were all true, then why not just say you put something on top of the bed, like you put wooden slats or something on top of the bed, right? And then you support the schach on that. Wouldn't that also be a nafka mina? For the people who said that this is an inherently temporary sukkah that will move around with the bed, it's still not inherently temporary. But if you're saying it's a point in schach with something that's not mekabel tuma, just wooden slats are not mekabel tuma, so why can't you put them on top and then put the schach on top of them, right? Why can't you support the schach directly with something which is not mekabel tuma, right? And then have the bed be underneath, and then have the bed be underneath them. The answer, l'chora, right? The obvious answer is to say, and he said, The obvious answer is no. Even the supports of the supports, maimid de maimid, anything which is providing support from the sukkah, must not be mekabel tumah. Right, this is a very, very famous statement of the Chazon Ish. Now, lemaisa the Chazon Ish, since none of the Rishonim mentioned it, lemaisa the Chazon Ish actually said not to worry about it. He said we should not be worried about this particular chumrah that he came up with, but in principle, he does come up with it, right? It does exist. Also, one more thing, and this is extremely, extremely, extremely lemaisa, right? The Shevet Halevi, Rav Vosner, Zichrono Livracha, he died very recently, unfortunately, right? If I remember correctly, he died... So I don't remember. It was recently. It was in the last year, right? So Rav Vosner, Zichrono Livracha, and his Shevet Halevi, he discusses the following question, right? What are you, in fact, allowed... you can't support the schach directly with something which is mekabel tumah. That the Gemara is crystal clear about. Are you allowed to support the schach? Are you allowed to support the schach in a different way with something mekabel tumah? Are you allowed to use something which is mekabel tumah to prevent the schach from being blown away? Right? Maybe that's not considered a maimin. Maybe that's not considered something which is actually supporting the schach, right? Right? He brings different shufos. So he brings different. His opinion is that he thinks that he. Done in mikvahs, right? He discusses mikvahs. Maybe there's a tshuva in Lady Behuda. What if you block a hole into a mikvah so that the water doesn't come out with something that's makabel tumah? Right? Does that count as supporting the water with something that's makabel tumah? Lady Behuda thinks no. The Chasam Sofer thinks that might be a problem. Whatever. In the end, he discusses. He says that lechatchila, even the things which are preventing the schach from blowing away, should not be makabel tumah. Right. However, the implication of saying that lechatchila you don't do this, you know, lechatchila should be machmir is, b'dieved he might have really thought that you can sit in such a sukkah if you really have no other option, right? Lechatchila you should not. Lechatchila you should use wood or something like that to support the scarf to make sure it doesn't blow away. But the Evid, you can even use something, maybe it is makabel tumah, wooden rods, metal rods or something, although he doesn't like it, right? To prevent the scarf from running away. Like I said, not to be underneath the scarf, but to prevent the scarf from flying away. Bracha, obviously, more complicated, right? It's not so clear. Right, but usually we assume that safek bracha is a lahakel, and therefore you should not make a bracha on such a sukkah.